Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for the opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and render all your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, the Anointing One, we pray. Shalom. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, faith, our way of life. Once again, faith, our way of life. So if you have found 2 Corinthians chapter 5, let's go to verse number 7. And it says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Once again, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." So we are told to live by faith and not by sight on the things which are perceived by our senses. Amen. Now please go to Romans chapter 10. Again, that's Romans chapter 10. And we're going to read verse number 17. And it says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Amen. So then faith comes by hearing. Now, it didn't say faith comes by positive hearing. So the hearing that you hear can be either negative or positive. That's why the scripture says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we hear by the word of God. Amen. And then finally, our last foundational scripture, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 11. Again, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. So the scripture is telling us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. It did not say without praise and worship. It did not say without prayer, but it said without faith. So faith must be important in order for us to please our Heavenly Father. And then it goes on to tell us that our Heavenly Father rewards those who diligently seek him. Amen. Well, before we get started with our teaching, I want to just review our six principles in regards to faith. And principles is simply elementary truths. So we want to look at some elementary truths of faith. So principle number one, that faith is a way of life. Amen. Faith is a way of life. One of the first rules you have to understand about faith is that it is not a get rich or my name is Jimmy, I'll take all you give me plan. Romans 1:17 tells us that the just shall live by faith. Faith is belief and acting on God's word. Amen. The Bible should be a way of life for every Christian because it pleases God. Hallelujah. Principle number two, your lifestyle must be in agreement with God's word. Once again, your lifestyle must be in agreement with God's word. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by repeatedly hearing the word and is developed by putting the word into action. We must make sure that we, to the best of our ability, are living in line with God's word. Amen. Principle number three, faith continually grows. Faith continually grows. To grow in faith is a process. You cannot believe for a Rolls Royce if you have Volkswagen faith. Amen. Start believing God for the little things and progressively work your way up to the larger things. Faith is a spiritual force, and it takes considerable more force to move a mountain than it does an anthill. Amen. So your faith will continually grow. Principle number four, God always honors his word. Once again, God always honors his word. An important rule of faith is that we cannot act first and then expect God to move or to come in line with our actions. God will come in line with his word if we are acting on him. What will move the hand of God and cause the enemy, Satan, the father of sin, sickness, and evil in the world is our acting on faith and a steady increase in trusting and confidence in God's word. Principle number five, faith is not moved by the circumstances. Once again, faith is not moved by the circumstances. I want to explain something regarding not looking at the circumstances, which you have heard me from time to time say. When we are not looking at the circumstances, which means we are not moved by negative situations confronting us. Let's take healing, for example. We are not moved by what the doctors say. We are not moved by how we feel or how we look. We do not get down in our mouth and start confessing what we see or how we feel. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. So you have to be very disciplined to act this way. You develop this discipline by an act of your will and diligence to do God's word. You do not confess the circumstances, but you have to keep your eyes on what God says relative to what you believe. Find in the Bible the word of God, scripture or scriptures that fit your situation, and continue to confess them and not the circumstances. When we do Holy Communion, the scripture tells us to examine ourselves. So I beseech you to examine yourselves carefully in the areas of your spiritual, your morals, your mental and emotional attitudes. Amen. Principle number 6. Faith operates at various levels. Faith operates at various levels. The Bible speaks of different levels of faith. It talks about little faith, small faith, common faith, great faith, holy faith, perfect faith, and so on. One's faith should be operated at its highest level to take God at his word and to stand on the word until the manifestation of what you believe for comes to pass. You can and should always be using your faith on something. I would like to encourage you to begin to believe God wherever you are spiritually and make a determination to develop your faith by continually exercising it until it grows into a powerful force. Amen. You must learn how to activate your faith. It is a process. Now, the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22 says, be a doer of the word and not just a hearer. So we must be a doer of the word. And that also means saying something. And that saying is an action. When you speak something, that is action. You have to act on what you believe. You have to really believe that in order to say it, because right away you could be intimidated by your friends and relatives. Amen. They're going to challenge you on what you say and what you believe. Faith is the number one priority one should understand. So I want to deal with why we ought to study the subject of faith. Why make such a big deal out of it? I want to show you that faith is so vitally important to us that we need to understand how it works. Amen. Please go with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Again, that's Romans chapter 1. And we're going to read verse number 17. And it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Once again, it says, for in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Anything that you are called upon to live your life by certainly demonstrates it is important. If you are to live by faith, how can you do it effectively if you do not even know what it is? So you need to know how it works, what it does, if you are going to live by it. The passage of faith says that the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. So faith is a way of life. Faith is a way of living. Now the word just, justified, justification literally means to declare righteous. Again, the word just, justified, justification literally means to declare righteous. When you accept Jesus Christ as God's remedy for sin, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, God declares you righteous. Now let me repeat that. When you accept Jesus Christ as God's remedy for sin, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal living Savior and Lord, God declares you righteous. Righteous is another big sounding word. But what does it mean? Righteousness. What does it mean? A lot of people get confused with this word. The simplest definition of righteousness is right standing with God. Once again, the simplest definition of righteousness is right standing with God. This definition comes from the definition of justification. If you have been declared righteous by God, you must have right standing with God and no longer wrong standing and longer because of the blood of Jesus. Let me repeat that. If you have been declared righteous by God, you must have right standing with God and no longer standing and longer because of the blood of Jesus. Amen. Many people throughout the years have thought that righteousness was something that we as Christians had to do or work for. For instance, a way that you live, a way that you dress, a way that you act, or something like that. It was considered some external work that you had to do. Actually, people really confuse two words, righteousness and holiness, just like they confuse faith and belief. Well, holiness has to do with the quality of your life lived on a daily basis. In other words, holiness is something you are responsible for. Let me repeat that. Holiness is something that you are responsible for. Holiness has to do with the quality of your life lived on a daily basis. On the same token, righteousness is God's responsibility. There is absolutely nothing that you can do to make yourself more righteous. God has to make you righteous. Let me repeat that. On the same token, righteousness is God's responsibility. There is absolutely nothing that you can do to make yourself righteous. God has to make you righteous. Righteousness is simply right standing with God. Amen. And we all want to be in right standing with our Heavenly Father. See, when Adam in the Garden of Eden disobeyed God, he caused a breach in the relationship with God and man. In other words, they had a falling out. Adam's action caused a break in the lines of communication with God. They called it a break. Because of Adam's disobedience, man was actually, through Adam, declared by God as unrighteous. And unrighteousness is simply righteous with the prefix un, which means non-righteous. So, when Adam sinned, he caused the whole human race, the animal and the plant life, to become unrighteous or out of fellowship with God or out of balance with God. No communication with God whatsoever. But Jesus came, and through his sacrificial death, his burial, and his resurrection, brought man back into a position that enables him to have right standing with God. It's called righteousness. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, God certifies you righteous. God certifies you righteous. Righteousness means that your death was paid in full. Amen. Your death was paid in full. Your sin was paid in full. God stamps you righteous, and Satan, through his intimidation or through bringing you low self-esteem, cannot legally come against your life and tell you that you owe anything, because you have been declared righteous by God. So righteousness means right standing with God. Amen. So my question, how do you stand with God? How do you stand with the Father? I stand fine with God. He is my daddy. He's my Father. And we are in right relationships. Amen. And so should you be. If you are the righteousness of God in Christ, you should be living by faith. And you should be living 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year by faith. Amen. If you are supposed to live by faith, then you better know what it is and what it is not. And you need to know how it works so you can live by it, since that is what God requires of you. That is a very important reason to study and understand the subject of faith. Now, when we understand the subject of faith, the way God sees it is the way we see it. The way God says it is the way we say it. The way God does it is the way we do it. And the results God gets are the same results we should get, because we understand the subject of faith. Because God requires us to live by faith. Amen. God requires us to live by faith. Now, since faith is a way of life and is the God kind of life, turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy chapter 6. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse number 12. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 12. And it says, fight the good fight of faith. And stop there. Again, It says, fight the good fight of faith. So we are encouraged to fight. This verse tells us several things that there are that are very important to us as Christians. First, it tells us that we're in a fight, a faith fight. And whether or not you want to be in it or not, you're in it. The second reason is because you became a Christian, and that amplifies the situation. See, the first reason you're in a fight is because you've been born into this human, as a human, into this world. Amen. That's the first reason. Because you're in a fight is because you've been born into this world as a human. Then becoming a Christian amplifies the situation. Well, you know what? I'm just about out of time. But please join us next week when we continue our teaching on faith, our way of life. But until then, remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.